Hello, and welcome back to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. This is a fun one. We're going to talk about some of the new play formats. Before we dive into that, though, I want to thank a few different distinct groups and individuals, starting with our Patreons, patreon.com/AcrossTheBifrost. Thank you guys so much for supporting us. If you're interested in supporting the podcast financially, be sure to check it out. If you're not, hey, you know what? We appreciate every listen just the same. I also want to mention Discount Games Incorporated, always selling products at the maximum allowed discount price. You can find them at discountgamesinc.com. If your local game store doesn't have what you need or can't find what you want, be sure to check out Discount Games Inc. Also, Blackgate Games for our UK listeners, blackgategames.co.uk. You can find all sorts of Marvel Crisis Protocol things there. I know Pat just pre-ordered She-Hulk from them. blackgategames.co.uk. All right, without any further ado, here's our episode on alternate game formats.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a...
Welcome to the latest episode of Across the Bifrost. My name's Sung Soo, and today we'll be diving into a couple official Atomic Mass Games formats and some less official ones from the depths of the internet. Joining me, as always, from across the pond is Pat Dunford. Pat, it's almost the holidays. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks, TT. I'm looking forward to holidays, and I'm excited to talk about these things that you have dredged up from the depths of the internet. What are we going to
be covering? My Google Foo is strong. So obviously, Atomic Mass Games this week released, the week we're recording this, released two new formats. We have Collectors and Battle Realms. And in addition, I don't know if people have been paying attention, but there's been some interesting monetary drafting formats, which I draw a direct correlation to like Fantasy Draft or Fantasy Auction for Fantasy Sports. I don't know if that's a thing over in the UK. And then we have probably the one that I love the most is a team format. I thought we could kind of cover all those different things and really highlight a bunch of different ways to play the game that we kind of all love.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And it's really interesting that all of this stuff has kind of sprung up really close together, right? At the same time that Atomic Mass have released two official formats, the community has also been tinkering with variations. And it shows there's a strong appetite for this stuff.
Yeah, so let me start with, obviously, everyone that listens to this podcast, not everyone, but I assume that if you listen to this podcast, you're a bit in the try-hard category. I think we've identified that as our kind of niche, our demographic. You're someone who wants to work on their game, improve their game, get better, probably go to competitive events and play in them. That feels accurate, right, Pat?
Yeah, I don't know if everyone falls into that bucket, but certainly a big chunk of our listeners do.
Yeah, I don't think everyone was the right word. I probably misspoke. I think the majority of people are. And I think it's important and it's easy for us to lose sight. I think competitive players sometimes think that we're the only players for a game format. And I think it's important to remember that we generally fill up a minority of the people actually playing the game. A lot of times we're the most vocal. A lot of times we're the most public because we see all these tournament reports, right? Or Pat Dunford wins another event. But it is important to remember that there are a bunch of different players with a bunch of different goals playing this game, and it's not always about min-maxing or optimizing or even individual performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the number one reason to play any game is to have fun, right? And having more ways to play gives you more different ways to have fun, and one of those ways might suit you better due to your circumstances or your preferences.
Yeah, and I think I agree with you, but I think for a lot of people, they play to win. But that's a whole other episode. We don't have to go into that. So the new Atomic Mass Games format is the one you want to start with, Pat. We have Collectors and Battle Realm.
Yeah, so I just want to be clear, because we're throwing around the format, and I think if you're not a card player, you don't really understand what the word format means in this context. But format is just a different way to play the game, just like Ultimate Encounters. Right, it's a completely different rule set for which you still play the same core game. And Collectors is the first one that we're going to talk about. First off, let me say a little bit what it is, and then we can talk about its pros and cons. So Collectors is essentially a draft format. It's a format where a player or players pre-create groups of similar characters called packs, and then take turns picking those characters one after the other, which is called drafting. Without repeating all of the rules of the format, the basic idea is It is semi-random what characters you get to pick, and you never get to pick everything you want. So at the end of it, you will end up with a leader and eight other characters, so nine characters in total, that may in some way have cool synergies that work well with that leader. They'll also have tactics cards associated with them that you draw off with. So you'll have a semi-random selection of characters and cards tied together by the leader.
Yeah, it's a format that we've excellent point to hit on what a format is. It's a format we've seen in other games, right? Magic the Gathering is obviously, I think, the most popular drafting format. So it's an interesting way to go about it. There was in War Machine and Hordes, what was the caster one? Oh, caster draft, cleverly named. That was the other one. There you would actually draft the War Machine's versions of superpowers, but in this one we're actually drafting to create our roster, like Pat said.
Yeah, so I think this format is a natural fit for the way that Marvel Crisis Protocol works, right? In the sense that characters are their own modular pieces that fit into the game, and drafting them to then create a roster is a pretty simple and pretty elegant way to mix up your team composition.
I think it's a great way to play the game how we're currently playing it, which is predominantly TTS based. I think it has some execution problems if you're actually doing it in person, but we can get to that later.
Yeah, so looking at the pros and cons, in terms of pros, some of the things that I see for this format. One, I think drafting itself is a fun game. Now, not everyone is going to agree with that, right? And obviously, if you really hate the idea of drafting, then probably this draft format is not for you. But I really enjoy drafting. I really enjoy drafting Magic. I enjoy other games where drafting also applies, like Dominion, for example. And I like the gameplay of deciding which pieces you're going to take and which pieces you're going to leave, trying to predict what your opponent is doing based on their choices. I think it's engaging, and I think it adds something, right? It adds something that normal game of MCP can't give you.
So I guess let's be clear. These are all, we're still playing the game of Marvel Crisis Protocol. Mm-hmm. All these formats that we're going to cover today are basically just like some kind of pre-game ritual that changes ultimately your core roster. I think that's an important thing, just to dovetail off what Pat said earlier about formats. I also love drafting. In Magic the Gathering, and I apologize for everyone that doesn't play Magic, but I assume that everyone listens has heard of it. It's this insane skill where drafting at first looks so hideously random, but when you step back, the pros in drafting have this insane win rate. It's really an incredible skill, and I love drafting teams. I loved caster draft in War Machine and Hordes. I love drafting in Magic the Gathering, and this is a weird thing, but I don't think I'm alone here. I really don't like playing the game after I draft the characters. Like, the most fun part of the draft for me is like, look at this cool team I assembled. Now, do I have any desire to play like Star-Lord with Hulk and Venom and Crossbones afterwards? Maybe not, but I enjoy going through the draft process a lot, and this does scratch that itch for me.
Yeah, I think that is definitely a fair criticism of drafting, which is the mini game of drafting is fun, but the team you end up with afterwards is maybe not as fun as if you had pre-constructed it. I think that's countered a bit by the fact your opponent is doing the same. And I think in this format in particular, if you're going to head-to-head with one other player, it's interesting to see who did best in the draft by matching up afterwards and testing out your two rosters against each other. So considering that in the two-player version of this format, you're only playing the one game afterwards, I think that's fine, right? I don't think it overstays its welcome. I don't think you're stuck with a weird roster for many, many games in a row. And I think this is the format that is going to appeal to people who like the idea of playing with weird rosters, right? Who like the idea of no two games are the same. And I think it's especially good for adventurous players who maybe are finding they're getting themselves stuck in a rut. And if you play with a couple of buddies, you know, at your house or in your local store, and you'll find that you've gotten to this place where you're always taking the same things against each other, then a format like this can really help you to enjoy the game in a different way.
Now, I do want to take a minute and highlight a few of the game rules we kind of blipped over in the beginning, Pat, or maybe you said them and I missed it, and there I apologize. Your crises aren't drafted right now. They are predetermined, and you're always going to be playing the game at a threat value of 17. Now, obviously, if you want to audible on that, you can, But I think that's just important to keep in mind that, some of the roster construction is as normal. The tactics cards and the characters are really the only thing we're drafting in the official Atomic Mass Games release of the collector.
Yes, absolutely. So in terms Yeah, go on.
Sorry, Pat, to interrupt you. I really like it as a one-off format. If you and I, maybe we play together all the time, right? And if we're at the same local store, or maybe you and the good doctor who I know play together when the world isn't shut down. I do think it's a cool, refreshing way to A, play characters you normally don't play. To B, kind of level the playing field. You know, you and I workshop rosters together a lot. Maybe Dr. Norbert doesn't. I know Dr. Norbert takes the game seriously. I'm just using his as an example. So I do like it as kind of a one-off. I don't like it for like larger or event formats personally. But if you're just having like a fun Saturday afternoon or something, I think this is a great way to play the game.
Yeah, I agree. In terms of its use for larger formats, I think that really just depends on, is it something that will become popular? If it's popular and lots of people want to play it, then you can play it in a large format, right? Certainly one of the downsides of this format, moving on to the cons, is it requires a good amount of preparation. And as the name suggests, it requires a big collection, right? You need to be in a position where between you, you have enough models to actually have the selection you need to draft, which is a lot, right? It's ideally, you want to have different models per player, although you don't have to. And you want to be taking at least 14 each. But if one person is creating the collection, then it helps if they have a much larger collection than that to create the packs from. So this is a format where you're going to have to plan ahead of time in a lot of circumstances, and you're going to need to have a good sized collection to make the most of it. So for that reason, it's not really well suited to newer players or people who just don't own a lot of models.
Yeah, I think you and I both own the line of MCP, Pat. I think that's true. But that continues to be like more and more of a daunting task if you come into the game late, right? For Pat and I, it's like, okay, we have to spend X amount of dollars every month to keep up. But for someone coming into the game, it can be kind of daunting to be like, I need to buy how many boxes right now? So I definitely understand for some people, the collector aspect's a hard thing. And for Caster Draft in War Machine and Hordes, you're under this as well. If one person provides a collection, you do have to be okay with multiple people using your models. And I know a lot of people make some incredible models out there, and that's not always something that's welcome. But just keep that in mind, too. If you are providing these models, other people are going to be pushing them around the table. And just be courteous and respectful to other people's things. I don't think anyone's malicious. But, you know, stuff happens.
Yes, for sure. The second con of this format is the mirror of one of its advantages, right? One of its advantages is you get to play interesting and unusual rosters, right? With combinations you may not have chosen to play in the past. The downside is you kind of have to do this, you know? You can't choose to opt out of that and play a roster that you're comfortable with. If you only know a few characters, you won't necessarily be able to take those in your games. And you may end up with a roster that is disappointing to play with, or not what you'd hope for. So I don't think that's a very big downside, but it does exist. And for some people, if they hate that idea, then once again, this is not the format for them.
Yeah, and what we talked about before, playing a single game afterwards, I think is more than reasonable. If you end up drafting with four, or I've seen people even talk about drafting with eight players, which is you run out of characters real quick. If you're committing to two or three games with a roster you don't like, that can be a lot, and it can kind of get to be a kind of a dredge towards the end, right? You do this draft, you've got this cool thing, it's a Rube Goldberg machine, you think it's going to be great, and then, you know, you might not need three games to realize it's not spectacular. So for a single game, I think it's fantastic. For longer than that, it might overstay its welcome.
Yes. And then the last con that I just wanted to hit on, and this is a very specific one, but I don't even know if this is a con, but this is just something to note, and I suppose it also applies to every format in a different way, so I'm going to talk about the point generally. So when you have a different format of the game, the rules around selection are part of what determines the power level of a piece. Okay, so to give an example from the normal game of Marvel Crisis Protocol, Corvus Glaive with the Reality Gem is great. But we have mentioned several times on the show when we talk about fitting him into rosters that the fact that he takes up two slots in your roster composition is a hindrance that prevents him being taken as much as he otherwise might be. Okay, that composition point is a restriction of the normal format of Marvel Crisis Protocol. Now, in this format, you have different rules about composition and different rules about your roster selection, and that is going to change which models are good and bad. This isn't necessarily a con, but I've seen a lot of people on the internet when they see these formats, I've seen a lot of people phrase it as a con because they say something like, this character is better in this format, or too good, or this character is too weak in this format. And I just wanted to call out, I don't think this is a con necessarily, but it is a true fact of different formats, is different things will have different strengths and weaknesses. Would you agree with that, TT?
Yeah, I think that's paramount, and maybe we didn't highlight it enough earlier. Drafting is a completely different format, and because of that, you need a completely different mindset heading into it. Cards and cards in Magic the Gathering that are powerful and constructed are oftentimes drafting duds. Drafting bombs, so to speak, or really good drafting cards in Magic the Gathering are often constructed duds, right? It's just the format's completely different. And the same holds true to a different level in Marvel. To your point, Pat, like, how you choose to go about drafting Infinity Gems is very, very different. And because of that, you might weigh Infinity Gem holders positively or negatively, depending on their dependence on those gems. Large affiliations that want to run very deep, let's say Wakanda, for example, you might rate them a little lower because it's harder to get a lot of Wakandans. Someone like the Avengers leadership, which is a very deep roster and has an affiliation that you're able to use kind of ubiquitously throughout the game, you might rate them higher. So yeah, it's you have to go into it with a, you can't go into it with the same competitive mindset. I think you have to step back, really look at the format you're using before you go into it with any preconceived ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. So this isn't a con, but it's worth noting how things change. And I think you gave some great examples. A couple of examples that I wanted to pull up for this format in particular. One, characters with specific weaknesses are better in this format because their weakness is less easy to access. An example would be Captain America is weak, is really tough, except he's weak to mystic attacks. And it tends to be that most rosters have at least one mystic attack. Well, in this draft format, that's not necessarily the case. You know, characters like MODOK are going to be far less prevalent in this format than they might be when you sat down to like a three-round crisis event, for example. And so characters with very specific weaknesses where not many characters can access that thing to take advantage of get better. And there was one other particularly weird thing about this format I wanted to mention, which was in this format, the leadership rules are kind of weird, right? The leadership rules are you pick your leader first from a selection of two, and then you get to use that affiliation regardless of how many affiliated characters you have. You always get to be affiliated. This does weird things to the values of leaderships because some affiliations, as we know from our affiliation reviews, right? Some affiliations have really strong leaderships and some have really strong tactics cards. Well, in this situation, you're unlikely to be able to draft a lot of affiliated characters to make use of the tactics cards, but you always have access to the leadership. So, for example, defenders have a perfectly good leadership and have no tactics cards that require affiliated characters other than Doctor Strange. So defenders are really good in this format because they have no downsides. They can just take any characters they want and use their full suite of abilities. Whereas other teams that have a lot of affiliated tactics cards and maybe a weaker leadership might not look so good in comparison.
Yeah, I mean, All Webbed Up is a fantastic card in a normal format, right? But in a draft, it just has a slightly lower value because you're not going to have as many web warriors on your drafted team.
Exactly. Perfect example. And indeed, it can even go a bit further than that, right? Because there's some teams who have great leaderships and their character selection is not the best. And I'm going to call out the X-Men, whose character selection is fine. It's just there's only four of them. Well, Storm's leadership is superb. But if I have Storm as my leader in this format, I can have Storm plus a bunch of non-X-Men and still use her leadership, right? And my team can be very weird and actually in some ways maybe better than a normal team from a normal game of MCP, but it's following rules that will never happen in a normal game.
Yeah, so I guess the con is you might end up with a different experience than you were expecting. But like I said, I mean, that's part of the fun of drafting. There's all sorts of different values you kind of associate with these things. So I guess if you go into the collectors with kind of an open mind, if you go into it with it's not going to be the super competitive version of Go or chess, I think you can have a lot of fun with it. I think you just need to be in the right headspace before you commit to doing a collector's draft.
Absolutely. And of course, the main thing with collectors is you've got to find a like-minded player and you've got to have the models available and you've got to make the draft packs. So there is that hurdle you've got to jump. But once you can do that, I'd encourage anyone to give it a go.
Yeah, I agree. I think collectors is a super easy format to handle on TTS. I think you just make rosters for each one of the draft packs you want to do and you can kind of blitz through things pretty quickly. That's how I've played my couple games. And playing with like-minded players, I think, is always important. Whether we're playing collectors or not.
Yeah, definitely. So the second of the two formats that AMG released is Battle Realm. Tell us about that format, TT.
Battle Realm is, for lack of a better word, a alternating draft and ban format. Do you think that's too much of an oversimplification? Ban has like some heavy connotations with it.
Yeah, I think this is a format that if you've played games like League of Legends, you'll understand immediately what it's about. And if you haven't, it might be a bit weird or confusing.
That's true. So these rules are simpler. Maybe we can just step through them real quick. So the opening thing that's important to remember is you are going to bring a roster of 15 characters. 15 characters, which is quite the slew. You're going to have five of each crisis. I think that's correct.
Yep. Five extracts, five secures.
Yep. Before the pick and ban happens, I believe we establish the secures and the extracts. And we do that by burning two of them, I think.
Yeah, we just pick at random. Remember. We pick at random. One person picks a crisis from their five at random, and one person picks a secure from their five at random. So there's not a lot of control over the crisis that's being played.
Yeah, a bit more volatility there. So for the control freaks out there, that's something we kind of have to kind of get over the hump about, for lack of a better word. And then we actually move on to the actual picking and banning. So the way it works is player one, priority player, picks someone from their roster that they are allowed to put on their team. Player two then does the same thing. Then player one gets one of their characters banned. Then player two gets one of their characters banned. And then player two drafts their second character. And it continues to alternate in this form until you have dismissed, five total people?
Yeah, it changes a little bit. You start off picking, banning one, and then it ramps up. So you're picking and banning in bigger chunks of characters at a time. But I think by the end, you end up with about eight characters to play with and seven characters banned out of your 15.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I said you banned five. You end up banning seven. So it sounds a lot more complicated than it is. I actually apologize. I don't feel like Pat or I did a good job of explaining this. You can find all the information at AtomicMassGames.com under their organized play document. It's really simple to walk through. Basically, I pick a model that's protected. You pick a model that's protected. I say, well, you can't use that guy. And you say, well, you can't use that guy. Then we each pick two models. Then I say, well, you can't use those three models. And you go, well, you can't use those three. And this podcast audio is getting kind of repetitive here. That keeps going until you end up with eight of the 15 people you brought, and you kind of construct a roster after that.
Right. So you're playing with a bigger roster that is then sliced down by your opponent to a smaller roster, and you're playing with a wider variety of crises with less control over which crises gets dropped. And the last point is, after your roster has been selected, you can play with any team tactics cards in the game. So you don't have to select tactics cards until you know exactly what you're taking. You have much greater flexibility in tactics card options in this format.
Yeah, which is a huge point. And I guess we'll get to it when we get to pros and cons. But are we at pros and cons now?
I think we are. Let's start with the
What are your thoughts on the format? Have you used the format?
I have not played this format yet. I think of the two, I'm more excited for collectors than I am for this format. I have seen some people that have played this format, and in particular, the Australians did a Crisis event with it and spoke very highly of it, and they thought it was very, very good. I think it really depends how you feel about picking and banning, right? This is also a mini game, and I suppose in theory it is a fun mini game. I don't feel like picking and banning is inherently as fun as drafting. And because it's head-to-head, it feels a little bit more nasty than drafting, where your primary goal when you draft is to make a good team for yourself, whereas the primary goal when you pick and ban is you're trying to save your characters from your mean old opponent taking them away, and you're trying to take away your characters from your opponent. And I don't know, it just feels a bit nasty. Do you think I'm wrong about that?
It's more aggressive is what I'll say. We've all played board games, and there's the hork your neighbor strategy, and this kind of is akin to that, where you're no longer just trying to do the best thing you can do. You're trying to negatively impact what your opponent can do. And there's some general tips for Battle Realm, which I'll toss out real quickly, which is you want to be, everyone knows that I'm not normally the biggest of multi-affiliation rosters, especially in this format. You need to be a multi-affiliation roster. You need a really diverse group of 15 because you don't want to force yourself to have to pick your leader first. You want your first pick to be a flexible character that fits in multiple affiliations. So definitely keep that in mind. Infinity gems in this format are kind of weird too. Definitely not my favorite, taking up a slot. Because at the end of the game, you only end up with an 8-person roster instead of a 10. So having a gem in there can really kind of force your hand into something. So if you put a gem in, be sure you're really committed to it. And then I'd also say, be sure you have a character that can select it, or you end up with an easy, or maybe a character that you're happy running without the gem. Corvus is a good example. Like, Corvus with reality is really, really, is still really good, right? Just Corvus, bad sentence. Corvus without reality is still really good. Corvus with reality is amazing, but he's still a good character. Thanos without gems gets definitely a little bit more questionable.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's a great point. The other thing that I think this changes in terms of the game balance, as you said, you need to have a broad roster. Some affiliations are much deeper than others. And in particular, the affiliations that have like 4 or 5 characters total really struggle in this format, where it is hard to get an affiliated team when your opponent is throwing bans at you, especially of characters that you want to be playing in that affiliation. Whereas teams like Avengers, Cabal, Defenders, and Criminal Syndicate are so deep that it's not nearly so challenging to make that team work.
Yeah, I think it's also important to look at and evaluate what makes an affiliation powerful. Like Pat said in the previous one, we can use the card Avengers Assemble, right? That's obviously better the more Avengers you have in the field, right? Are you happy if you have 2 Avengers and Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier, to get you that affiliation if you can't fully leverage the tactics cards maybe the way that you want them? So just something to keep in mind. There's a lot that goes into this. Like I said, with any format, there's going to be all sorts of nuance that comes into it. And it's an interesting format. It's not my favorite either for a couple reasons. I guess we can go into pros and cons now. I guess, though, the one thing I want to say is, and again, Strike Better, check them out. It's a fantastic podcast. The one thing that they did is they did this before every round of their event. So you don't pick and ban once for the entire event. You're going to do this every round with the person you're playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So looking at pros, so I think one of the things that's interesting about the idea of picks and bans is potentially it acts as a way to curb the power level of certain options, right? Where as your opponent, I have some control over what you are playing. And if you have particular things that I think are too good or egregious or I can't deal with, I have a limited ability to stop you from using them.
Yeah, it's an interest. Sure, I'll go along with that for now. Yeah, I think we'll circle back to that point kind of in cons too, right? It's weird, it kind of double dips.
Yeah, and it's basically the whole point of the format, which is I think partly why it's so contentious, because it's not clear to me if the way that it works overall is good or bad, but it's there. So it's a pro if you like the idea of limiting what your opponent is taking in some way. And like the collector's format, it has another pro, which is it creates different roster building. right? It's a new challenge to figure out how can I build a good roster for this format. Following, you know, the new rules that we said and following some of the changes in what is good, you now have to think very differently about how to get an edge or how to play the characters you want and work around your opponent's ability to ban. And as we mentioned, the idea of picking and banning could potentially be fun, right? It could be another fun mini game that you play before your main game.
Yeah, it definitely, again, I think really highlighting, like, it's just an optional way for you to play the game. And if you know heading in, it's going to be a Battle Realm event, or, hey, we're playing Battle Realms at our local game store today when everything opens back up, I think that's a great mindset to go in. And if you don't like Battle Realms, just don't play Battle Realms. I don't particularly care for Ultimate Encounters that much. I use them as kind of teaching games. I play them with my kids. But, like, Pat and I have never got together and played Ultimate Encounters. So if the format doesn't sound appealing, then maybe just, like, fast forward the podcast another 5 minutes. So there are some cons to Battle Realms, and this kind of, the first one I want to hit on real quick, Pat, and this is kind of my core issue with this format, is some people have models they really want to play, and in this format, you kind of lose some of that ability.
Yes, you definitely do. You can't just play your favorite characters in every game. And to be honest, that's also true of the draft format, but it feels more so in this one, right? And I don't really know why that is. I think it's because of the psychology of someone taking them away from you. You bring your 15 characters and you say, I want to play with these characters. And then your opponent says, no, you can't. Yeah, that is a real disadvantage. And I definitely agree that this format is not for people that have their pet characters and want to use them no matter what.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, right? Atomic Mass Games said, I believe on record, right, that they're going to try as hard as they can not to put a character on the banned or restricted list, right? And that's because they acknowledge that with superheroes and with anything, there comes like a rational attachment to people. And if you really want to play Wasp, let's say, then it kind of sucks if you show up to game night and you can't play that character. So I think at my core, that's kind of my biggest issue. But again, if you're playing Battle Realms, I think you just need to understand fundamentally that that is a thing that is going to happen. And just kind of accept it and move forward with it.
Yeah, just be okay with it. It's fine. You know, just play a normal game and you want to play Wasp. So were there any other cons that you see for this format?
I actually really don't like the way they do team tactics. I think it heavily slants. I know that the Australians used it in a competitive format. I think if we were to actually do this at a convention or in person, it heavily slants in favor of someone who owns everything. Having the full suite of tactics cards for you or me, Pat, since we own the full game, versus someone that owns, you know, maybe just a little bit more than their 15 is definitely a pretty big benefit, I'll say. There's a lot of niche cards you can kind of pull out, especially when you see your opponent's 8. So I do think that's important to remember. I don't like the variability of crisis selection either. To me, one of the deepest parts of Marvel Crisis Protocol is your crisis selection. I think there's a ton of power there. And a ton of quote-unquote skill, for lack of a better word, not to pat myself or anyone else on the back, in kind of how do I pick crises for my roster, and then how do I pick the crises heading into a game? And to lose that is a bit disappointing.
Yeah, I feel two ways about this, because I quite like the increased variability, because it appeals to me in terms of giving more variety. And I think you're right that selecting the right crises for your teams and for the matchups is a skill that gives you an advantage. But it's not a skill that I mind giving up for this format. And I like the extra variety that it brings. And it encourages a different skill, right? Which is the adaptability. Having a team that is not perfect in a crisis that's not perfect, and then figuring out what you do. You know, you and your opponent are both in that situation, and whoever can adapt the best is going to come out ahead.
Sure. I don't want to belabor this point too much. I get what you're saying there, Pat. I think that with the randomness of the crisis, that some 15s are just going to be inherently better at handling a given crisis selection than others. I think there's only so much variability you can build in the 15, especially when you factor in it's getting pared down to an 8. And then right now, as crisis increase, maybe that gets easier. But right now, if you're picking 5 of each, you're almost just taking the whole collection, right? I know that's a slight hyperbole, but like, what, we're taking 5 of 9 right now? Yeah. So I just,
there's just a bit. To me, a ban and to be a pick and ban format is about control. It's about kind of controlling the environment, controlling. You're basically saying, hey, I don't like your banned and restricted list. I think we could do it a little bit differently. You know, maybe in your local areas, you have someone that's like notoriously good with something. So you want to have a little bit more control. It's interesting to me to pair that with the randomness of the crisis and the openness of the team tactics thoughts. I think that's kind of where I'm going with the core of this. But again, if you enjoy it, that's great. It's just not personally a format that I'm looking to spend a lot of time on.
Yeah, I'm definitely open to playing it. I think it seems interesting. For me, the big question that I don't know, because I've not played this format yet, right? But the big question is the ban, is the banning and picking stage fun? Because it doesn't sound super fun to me, and it is time consuming. And I'm a little bit concerned that the amount of time you spend on it is not really worth the effort. But I could well be wrong about that. That's a concern I have rather than an actual criticism. And I'll have to wait and see, I guess, until I do this format to find out if it's a valid one.
As far as the time, and Strike Better, please let me know if I get your times wrong here. I believe Strike Better said it took about 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and then 7 minutes for the three rounds of events. So it definitely took longer in the beginning, but then people kind of got a hang of it. And whether or not you like banning something from someone, I think that's a personal preference. I don't love it, Pat. I understand what you're saying. I think maybe you and I are too nice in that regard. But there's definitely a lot of depth and quote-unquote strategery in how you want to ban people's or dismiss people's characters.
Yeah, definitely.
There's definitely a skill associated with it, yeah. So yeah, time is definitely a little bit of a concern, but for me, really, it's the randomness of the other elements. So I don't love Battle Realms. I played it a few times. I'll definitely play it again if someone really wants to. It's just, again, not personally my favorite way to play the game. But I do think, and I want to reiterate this again, I think it's great that Atomic Mass Games is looking at additional formats for people to play. I think it's fantastic that they're listening to the community. Obviously, some people, there's been some desire for things like this. And I think it's great that they're kind of opening this up. And to prove that there's been a desire, right, we have a couple different community formats that have kind of sprouted up as well.
Yeah, so there's two that have cropped up recently in discussion. The first one that I want to talk about is the $100 draft. And the reason I want to talk about this first is because it's more similar to the two formats we just discussed. Right, it has a lot in common with collectors, which is really cool. So they're two different ways of trying to address the same need or the same desire in terms of what to play.
So Pat, how does the $100 draft format work?
So the way this format works, you have 8 players, so yourself and 7 buddies, and you all have 100 fake money that are going to spend on characters. I played in one of these drafts last week, and we used every character that's currently in MCP, which is somewhere between 60 and 70, and that was a pretty good number, where there's not enough for everyone to have complete rosters, and there is a lot of tension in regards to who gets what character. You take turns. When it's your turn, you put a character up for auction, and you put on the opening bid. And then it is just a free auction. Whoever bids the highest from their pool of $100 gets that character in their roster. You keep going with every character in the game until every character has been bid on and claimed by a player. There's a couple of other smaller rules about how you get things like gems, but that's not that important for this. The point is, in this format, you'll have 8 players, all with completely different rosters. There'll be no character overlap. Only one player will have Valkyrie, only one player will have Toad, etc. And then after that, they get to pick their crises and their tactics cards as normal and create a roster that they then play with. The number of games you play obviously is up to you. The way that we're doing it in the draft I'm playing in is we're playing a 3-round event. So there's 8 players, and over 3 rounds, we're going to get to a winner who will be the winner of the draft, having gone undefeated.
Now, I do have some questions, and there's been some variations here, I think, but correct me if I'm wrong here, Pat, all the players might not end up with the same number of characters at the end of the draft. That's correct?
Absolutely, because it's just about how much you bid. And, you know, in theory, we can put down the first character, Captain America, and you can slam $100 on the table and go all in, but then your roster is just Captain America, and that is not going to win you many games, unfortunately, even if he is a great
character.
And
I know... And I know the GD Nerd, his draft, they were doing set crises, I know. So they didn't actually end up with like the normal crisis selection. So there's a bunch of different permutations to it. But at its core, like, how much do you value a character out to everyone else? It's an interesting experience. I think at the beginning of the draft, I compared it to a fantasy sports draft, which an auction style draft, which handles the same thing. For these, I've only done one of these, in the interest of full disclosure. I really enjoyed the draft, and I just did not want to play my team after that.
So I think that depends on the person, right? And this is a criticism that you can level at all of the formats, right? All three of the formats mm-hmm. we've discussed so far have this problem. So for me, I really enjoy playing with my more restricted team. I think it's a fun challenge. As soon as I got my team, I went and played a pickup game with that team against a normal opponent just to test it out. And I'm happy to be playing three games. I think you could play more games. I think some people are playing like the full 8-round robin. That is probably going to be too many. But it really comes down to your preference. If you're excited about this idea and you play games quickly and you have lots of time to play, I don't think it's a big concern. I think it really comes down to the circumstances. And I think this is the kind of format that could be really interesting as a one-day event in a store where you have 8 players, you do the draft together, you play 3 rounds, that covers the full day, and there's enough chatter about who drafted what and comparing how they actually joined the table to keep it exciting and interesting over the day.
Yeah, it makes for a ton of content, and by that I mean dialogue, right? There's obviously a lot of talk about, oh, I can't believe you let me get Captain America for $2, or I can't believe MODOK went for $57, or things like that. So there's tons of great conversations that can sprout up to it. How long did the draft take you? Do you remember approximately?
Yeah, so it can take a while. We were doing it over Discord, and we had a voice channel where we were doing the draft, and then a chat channel where we were placing the bids. Our draft took about 2.5 hours. It could absolutely take longer. This is with somebody who is emceeing the draft and doing a good job of keeping us going at a timely pace. If you were not doing it strictly, it could take longer. And the time it takes to draft is one of the bigger limitations of the format. It's also one of the bigger advantages, right? The fact you're sitting there with 7 friends, having a laugh and chatting and having fun. I think whether or not you like this part of the format is going to heavily influence whether or not you want to get involved in it.
Yeah, that's about as long as it took me when I ran through my draft as well. And the only reason I bring that up is, I think the draft actually takes longer than playing a round. I know that maybe it takes 2.5 hours to play a round. I guess a lot of my TTS games have gone that long. But way back in the day when I could play in person, we were able to get games done kind of quickly. So while I like it for a one-day event, I think it has all the cons of the original collector's edition, right? Someone needs to own all this stuff, right? Or your collection does, right? You need to be okay with other people using other people's models, which most of the time is fine. We kind of talked about that. And then I think you need to go into it knowing that, hey, you know, you're going to be there for a while. It's going to be kind of an experience, I suppose, for lack of a better word. And hopefully you don't find out halfway through you don't enjoy it.
Yes. And certainly that is one of the downsides, is because it requires active participation from 8 players over a long time period, it's difficult to set up. And it is a slightly awkward social contract, right, of having all these people agree to play uninterrupted for that time. And especially if you end up in a situation where it is definitely possible in this format, unlike the others, it's possible to just end up with non-functional teams. There's no safety net other than your own bidding, right? There's no safety net that stops you from just having this awful garbage team and then being stuck playing games with it. And that's definitely a big risk. Like, I can imagine if you went to a one-day event at your store to play this, you would feel so demoralized if you turned up at the start of the day and ended up with like a 14-threat roster of 3 characters and you realize you can't do anything. You know what I mean? You're like, well, I really like my team of Magneto, MODOK, and Mystique, but if my opponent gets to pick the crisis and puts down 20 threat, I'm in big trouble. Do you know what I mean?
It's interesting. So in our draft, one person ended up without an affiliation leader. That was an interesting kind of turn of events. So yeah, you can end up in some weird spots.
Yeah. So that is a downside of the format. It doesn't guarantee that everyone is going to have fun games, which I think the AMG formats do guarantee that. And it takes longer, but it has more of a community vibe. And I think it is very fun and different. And just like the other formats, I would encourage people to give it a go. If they have the inclination and a group of people who want to do it, why not try it? You may discover it's your favorite way to play. You may not.
And again, I think actually this is a fantastic format for the current tabletop simulator mode where we're in, where I don't have to borrow your MODOK for 4 weeks as I play this game out, or the entire day, right? You can do this as like, we're going to play one game a week. We're going to draft on Sunday. We have a week to get a game, a week to get a game, a week to get a game. I think that's kind of almost the ideal format for these things, personally. So,
yeah, I agree. I think it works well in that context.
All right, we have one other format. It's my favorite format, and it's the team format, right, Pat?
Yeah, now this one is, we're going to talk about in a bit less specific terms, right? Because there's been a lot of rumblings from our community organizers about doing team events for Marvel Crisis Protocol. And team events, for those that don't know, is when you have a group of players that play together in one team, and their collective victories or defeats contribute to the team's score. And then just like any Crisis event, winning teams go on to play winning teams until you have a overall winner.
Yeah, so we've both played team events for War Machine, and I've played team events for Magic the Gathering. I find them very enjoyable. The social aspect of war games is honestly kind of what keeps me in them. Otherwise, I think I'd still be playing StarCraft II or something, Blizzard connotations aside. And it really kind of embodies that. You're able to talk to your... You know, there's this weird unwritten rule about, okay, how much advice are you supposed to get from someone before you head into a tournament game? And I generally feel like you really shouldn't talk to anyone that much, maybe a little bit, but in a team format, it's obviously encouraged, right? You're dojoing with your team, you're workshopping with your team, the dividing of resources, you know, if characters are not to be repeated or tactics, things like that, it gets to be really interesting, the different teams you can fill out, the different rosters you create. And I've always really liked the team formats. I just think they're a ton of fun. A little bit more overhead in kind of the organizational side, but to me, they're just a really fun format, and I'm excited for whenever the first one for MCP happens. Maybe Pat and I will even run it. Maybe.
We could definitely do it across the Bifrost team, providing that time zones permit. That would be the biggest challenge. So, I think you said they're a little bit more effort. I think the effort is one of the biggest cons of team formats. The fact that you need to have more people per round, you need to have a venue that can hold more people, or if you're playing online, you need to worry about things like time zones, as I mentioned. You need to have a minimum number of teams to play a minimum number of rounds, right? And that can mean if you're a small player group, like if you are 10 people, really hard to do a team event with 10 people, right? You can do 5 teams of 2 and people have a bye. You can do 3 teams of 3, 2 teams of 5 and just play once. None of those are really ideal. So you need to have a large number of people, and you need to be able to make that work logistically, which is a challenge.
Yeah, and we've talked all through all those things with the doing it over TTS. There's all sorts of questions on how it would work. I definitely think there's potential there, and I'm sure we'll see one hopefully sooner than later, but it's definitely something that I'm looking forward to, and I think you are as well, Pat.
Definitely. So let me ask you, we don't have a team format yet, so there's nothing that we can critique in terms of pros and cons. But to put you on the spot, what would your preferred MCP team format look like?
Unique cards throughout all rosters. So you'd have a 3-person team. They each have a unique roster that includes crises. In my head, the team captain would meet with the other team captain. You guys would draft. You guys would pair off. You could do the German method or whatever method you want to do. And then you'd have like a whatever period of time to play your individual game. That's how, in my mind, it would work. What about you, Pat?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things that need to happen in a team format. One, you need to have a reason for people to work together. It cannot just be everyone brings their own rosters to the event and then their win and loss helps their buddies, right? You need to have some reason for the team to cooperate. And I think having some sort of joint roster restriction is a good way of doing that. And then on top of that, that restriction needs to be simple to understand. and simple to monitor, make sure people are actually following it, and reduce the chance that people accidentally don't follow it. And once you've got those things covered, I think anything really works. I like the idea of unique cards. I think unique crises right now may be going too far, because that's literally every crisis in the game in a three-player team. But I certainly like the idea of, if nothing else, unique characters. And I like the challenge that would create in terms of how this format would change the game is, well, characters don't lose value, but they lose value in different teams, right? Valkyrie might be great in every team, but she's probably better in teams where she's affiliated. And then if you're not playing Defenders or Asgard and one of your teammates is, maybe you have to give up your Valkyrie, who you otherwise plan to play, and pick somebody else. And then the question is, well, who do you take instead? And that creates interesting decisions that I like the idea of playing. And I like the idea of having a team of people do well where they've made those decisions together and collectively have made three good rosters that are also unique.
Yeah, I think that's a great, I mean, that is at its core why I think we want the single limit to a person. I understand what you're saying about crisis. The other way I've envisioned it is the team leaders could actually priority off. This sounds a little weird. Let's pretend you're a team leader and I am, you get priority. So you would actually pick the secure that all three of your teammates would play. You would also pick the threat that all three of your teammates would play, right? You would set everything for the games. I think that's also an interesting way to go about it. So I do want to, like Pat said, enforce as much like collaboration and working together in your teams as possible. And there are a bunch of different ways you could go about doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the point about the crises might change as more crises come out, right? It might be less restrictive. And you could do all kinds of little tweaks, but I think we're on the same page in terms of the kind of event we'd like to see.
Yeah, I don't want three people showing up with Wakanda Wave, for an example. That to me isn't the team event that I personally want to play in. I want to see the sacrifices of, you know, both of us really want Black Panther, who of us gets it? Okay, that's fine. And then how do we kind of balance things out from there? I think those are just a lot of fun, personally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned that you want a way for people to cooperate together, but it's very important to point out, if you don't have a restriction of what people can play, the best way to cooperate is for everyone to have the same thing, right? You play a bunch of games together, you do a bunch of dojo together, you come to the conclusion this thing is the best, and then you all play it. So you need to have some restriction on what people can play on the same team. Otherwise, all the best teams are the same thing.
All right, so I think that wraps up all the different play formats that we kind of have out there. We have Collectors and Battle Realms from Atomic Mass Games. You can find all the information from that at atomicmassgames.com. We have the $100 or 100 pound or 100 euro draft or whatever dollar amount you want to associate it to it. There's all sorts of things online. I know Mark Garreau did an article on it on acrossthebifrost.com. At least I think he did. You can also look for team formats in the future, and that just gives you maybe a little bit of a better idea. If you see that tossed around in social media or on Discord, you kind of know what to expect. And we'd love your feedback on any of these formats. You can find Pat and I on Discord, Pat's on social media. You can leave comments on acrossthebifrost.com. We want to thank you all so much for listening. Thank you all for taking the time out of your busy schedules. We really do appreciate all of you. We hope that you have a safe and happy holiday, whichever holidays you choose to celebrate. And until next time, everyone, cheers and happy gaming.
Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up high, there's a pod that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Skies are blue, and the dreams that you dare to dream really do come true. Somewhere across the Bifrost, way up, there's a pod that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere dreams that you dare to dream really do come true.